also have some seats up front, so saints, if you want to move closer. Amen. So this week, praise the Lord, we're entering into the message four of the fall iteral. The title, how about we proclaim the title together? If you have the morning revival, it is on page 62. Shepherding the flock of God according to God by being pastors of the flock. Amen. So this week it's about the shepherding. Shepherding the flock of God according to God by being pastors of the flock. Let's read a few scriptures. 1 Peter 5:2. This verse is concerning shepherding. It's on day one. 1 Peter 5:2. Shepherd the flock of God among you, overseeing not under compulsion, but willingly, according to God, not by seeking gain through base means, but eagerly. Amen. This word of shepherding has been mentioned many times in Peter's. Peter was the one that was very much shepherded by Christ, right, by Jesus. That he denied the Lord three times, right, just before the Lord, Lord's crucifixion. And the Lord did not forsake him, right? He even shepherded him in John 21st, right, the last chapter of the Gospel according to John. This chapter, if you read it, it's almost totally for Peter, right? The Lord was shepherding him.
Amen.
When he was in a situation, he was actually very down, right? He just went, take up his old profession, fishing, right? He totally forgot about what the Lord has commissioned him to do. Even not just himself, even, you know, took some brothers with him. But the Lord appeared to him, right, and the disciples. And the Lord asked him three questions, three times actually, the same question three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Right? Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Right?
Amen.
And then every time Peter would answer, yes. But then the Lord would reply to him, right? First is what? Feed my lamb. And second time, say, shepherd my sheep.
Amen.
Right? And third time, the Lord says, feed my sheep. Amen. So if you see all these, you know, the verbs that the Lord was using, the shepherd and the feed, right, it really comes together. Of course, there are different types of lamb, I mean, type of sheep, right? One is, lamb is a young sheep, I would say, right? And you know, the sheep is a little grown up. So this symbolizes or signifies all the saints who are in different stages of their life. Right, but all of them needs to be fed. All of them needs to be shepherded. So Peter was really much touched by this. So in his letters, epistles, right, he wrote a lot about this shepherding, the one that we just read. And Peter also wrote about, you know, when the chief shepherd appears, right. So he was among them. He's really asking or admonishing all the fellow co-workers to be the shepherds of God's flock. Amen. So when the chief shepherd appears in the Lord's second coming, we would actually be judged, right, before the judgment seat, how faithful we are towards this I would say, the Lord has commissioned us, right, to shepherd his lamb, to shepherd his sheep. Amen. Let's read another verse here. This is in Acts 20, 19 through 20. This is Paul was speaking to the elders in Asia. This is on day 3, Acts 20, 19 through 20. Let's read it together. Serving the Lord as
slay with all humility and tears and trials which came upon me by the cloths of the Jews, how I did not withhold any of those things that are profitable by not declaring them to you and by not teaching you publicly and from house to house.
Amen. Here we see an example of a shepherd. Paul was another example of a shepherd. In fact, this week we have a lot of examples. We can read it later about Paul being a pattern for the shepherd. And you see that the Paul was serving the Lord as a slave with all humility. In fact, in the message it was talking about, the humility should really be a brand for all the shepherds, right? When the shepherds come, he does not come as like a king, right? He does not appear to the flock as somebody that with high authority and then, okay, now you're the sheep, I can, right, do whatever I want. He is full of humility because his heart is the same as the Lord's heart's desire, is to dispense the Lord into all the fellow believers. So it is not about like ruling over them. It is really about feeding them, right? Dispensing the Lord into them. In today's word, we also say ministering Christ, right? Ministering life into them. So for that, we truly need to be full of humility, right? We have to lower ourselves, even if we see something higher, or if we see the Lord has a higher calling, we see some revelation where the one that we are shepherding did not see. There's no reason for us to be haughty or to be proud, right? We really need to, just like the Lord Jesus, he humbled himself, even though he was in position, he's the same as God, but he humbled himself, right? In the second Philippians, right? Philippians chapter 2, he mentioned that we ought to be, just take Christ as our example. And, in fact, think the same thing as Christ Jesus thinks. And all in Philippians 2 was about how he lowered himself. He take the position of a man, of a slave, right? And this is ought to be the position or the attitude that the shepherd of God's flock ought to take. And here, Paul was a great example.
Amen.
Right? He did not withhold anything, right? Any of those things. What are those things? The revelation from Christ, right? Amen. He anything that is profitable, anything that is good for the saints, he would pour himself out, right? In 1 Corinthians, Paul was saying he's willing to spend all himself, right?
Amen.
Pouring himself out. You see that kind of heart. And he's teaching them publicly and from house to house. So I would say in the meeting, we can say this is publicly, right? But he's also doing it house to house, which is visiting the saints. This ought to be the practice for all God's servants. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And how about we also read Acts 20, 27 through 28. That is on day 4. For I did not shrink from declaring to you all the counsel of God. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he obtained through his own blood. Amen. So this is the word Paul was speaking to the elders of the church, that here, again, he mentioned shepherd, right? Overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he obtained through his own blood. So it is really precious. All the the believers, they're being obtained through our Lord's precious blood. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. How about we turn back to, I think it's, I really got touched by, you know, the points we're talking about is actually the number two. I think we partially covered number one, but number two, all these 15 points, right, from A to O is very precious regarding Paul sets a great pattern for the for shepherding the flock. How about we read Roman numeral 2 together? Amen.
We must shepherd the flock of God by being patterns of the flock. The Apostle Paul, as a pattern to all the believers, the members of the body of Christ, lived Christ for his magnification as his continuation.
Amen. How about we take turns? Sisters, A, brothers, B, and then all the way through. Oh, amen. Sisters.
Paul was a disciple of Christ, seeing Christ, hearing Christ, and learning Christ as reality is in Jesus.
Brothers.
Paul was a chosen vessel of Christ to contain him, be filled with him, and overflow with him for his fullness. Spirit of Jesus, the spirit of a man with abundant strength for suffering, for his preaching ministry, a ministry of suffering carried out among human beings and for human beings in human life for the building up of the body of Christ.
Paul lived in his emotional spirit, the divine spirit mingled with human spirit as one spirit.
Paul was filled with the Spirit of God, essentially for his existence, and with the Spirit power, economically for his function.
Paul exercised himself to always have a good and pure conscience.
Paul lived a life of always rejoicing in the Lord, praying unceasingly, and thanking him in everything.
Gospel holy in the name of Jesus,
spread
the testimony of Jesus unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen. All cherish the saints in the name of Jesus, and nourish them in the divinity of Christ with all the truths of God's eternal economy, displaying in his living the word of the Lord Jesus, that is more than that to give than to receive.
Paul was a pattern to live out in Jesus, a pattern of what we all should be to the church.
Amen.
Paul's fourth. I guess we can skip the small numbers, yeah. Let's move on to N.
Paul's fourth ministry journey shows in a particular way his life of living Christ,
living by Christ,
doing all things Christ,
and pursuing Christ in order to be crowned in Christ.
Amen. How about last one? Oh, we read it together.
The ultimate issue of the church will be the union in eternity future as God's full and eternal expression.
This should be the reality.
This should be the reality and goal of our gospel today. As we follow the pattern of the Apostle Paul, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness unhindered.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to mention one more thing. I believe was also mentioned in this week's message, was talking about that Paul, in his fourth journey, right, that he was truly exhibited himself being really magnifying Christ, right? you see in this whole situation, I don't know if you still remember the fourth journey where Paul was persecuted by Jews and he wanted to bring the case to Caesar, right? And then in the process, he went on a ship, right? He was actually he was an ambassador of Christ in chains, right? He was being sent by a group of Roman soldiers, right? The centurion and a group of Roman soldiers on a ship, and the ship there was actually a shipwreck, right? At the end, you know, because they got into a hurricane kind of thing. But through the whole process, you see who is in command. Right, it's not the captain of the ship, right? Nor is the centurion. It is really Paul, right? He actually he gave the prophecy that the whole ship, right, the whole all the people will get saved, right? In fact, I just read it last week. It was like, you know, previously I didn't remember the exact number, but last week since I read it the second time, it was really striking. It was 276 people. A lot of people there. All of them. None of them actually got harmed or anything. Actually, in the process, you see some, even the sailors, they want to flee, right? But the thing is, if they flee, then nobody's actually going to live. So Paul was really in a commanding position. You see that he was really one with Christ. He was really exhibiting Christ, even though at the very beginning they didn't listen to him, right? His advice of not sailing. But then, still, the Lord was with him. And he, through the whole process, you know, you see that he was very calm. He knew what the Lord had ordained, right? You know, you know, it's amazing. You know, I would say, you know, if you forgot about it, you know, if you didn't read it for a while, but I was really, it was marvelous kind of experience. And you see that Paul was really, even when they arrived on the island, right, the ship got wrecked. You know, all the experience, right? The viper jumped on his hand and, you know, wrapped around. But he was just, you know, throw it away. And even the native was worshiping him as a god, right? But you see, Paul was truly an acting god at that time, right? He was just, you know, magnifying Christ. And everybody, you know, in front of him, he was truly he has authority. He has, and he was really magnifying Christ. I think through the whole process, a lot of people believed. And we ought to be those kind of people. So preaching gospel is not a matter of doing things, right? It is really about that we enjoy this Christ. In fact, also touched by this Roman numeral 1, right? The second point was talking about as shepherds, we really need to take the lead to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Right? It is really not about, I mean, we need to preach, we need to teach, we need to do all of those things. But we need to be the ones that take the lead to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
When people see us, we're happy people, right? We're just joyful people.
Amen.
They got touched, right? They, you know, they spontaneously, they know there is something different within these group of people.
Amen.
So it's really about living out Christ. You know, our living really speaks how much our faith is, right? Whether this is really just in our mind, right? Or these just the doctrine, or this is truly a living person. Because the gospel is about proclaiming and spreading, propagating this living person.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I think saints can just share freely. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed this week. This week was very deep. I just want to read out from day 4. It says on day 4, most Christians today receive only shallow teaching, instructions them to be good, humble, loving, and kind. And in today's reading, the bottom says, the problems that we are facing today in the recovery in the church are mainly due to the lack of deep understanding and realization of God's eternal economy, God's eternal plan. Now, day 1 talks about shepherding. Actually, the title is Shepherding the Flock, right? Shepherding the Flock of God according to God by being partners of the flock. Now, this shepherding, it's easy to preach the gospel, plant a seed. See, Paul planted the seed, Apollos watered, and the Lord took the growth. But it's easy to preach the gospel, plant the seed, but it's not easy to water. You know, it needs need love. Now, in the conference, in the Thanksgiving conference, the brother, I think it was Brother Mark, he shared about the attributes of God, the four attributes. I mean, he has a lot of attributes, and we have the virtues, human virtues that he gave us. But these four attributes, he says, are what? Love, light, holiness, and righteousness. And he compared it like a glove, and the thumb is God, right? The four attributes. But he has a lot of attributes. But one thing that really touched me is this week, shepherding. Can we shepherd when we don't love God? When we shepherd, we don't have the... When I talk about this love, is the agape love. He talked about the agape love. Our human love, for example, the love for my wife finished a long time ago. That was gone, yeah. I love my wife with the divine love. That a love that stays. Prevail. See, my love, when you were born, when you love your parents with human love, right? Those are virtues that God gave us. But our love shouldn't be that. Our love that we receive and know the Lord should be the divine love, the agape love, right? This is what brother brought in the conference. And this is in order to shepherd somebody, we first must love the Lord, right? And then we can shepherd. Because we're trying to shepherd. For many years I've planted the seed and I preach the gospel, but I do it with my human love. And I feel good, but I fail many times because then they leave. Well, it's good to plant the seed, but if I love the Lord, then it's a different story. It must be the divine love. It's a big difference between the human love. Now, the virtues that God gave us are going to reach one day. That's why we are here. We're going to be to the divine love.
Amen.
In order to shepherd, we must first enjoy the Lord. And second, humble. That's what the week talk about. Be humble. It's easy not to sin than to be proud. Yeah. Because we're very proud. Mm-hmm. And live loving, and we have to be, enjoy the Lord, humble, loving, and
Amen.
Kind.
Amen.
Those are the things that we need to really ask the Lord to give us more
Amen.
Every day.
Amen. Right.
And then we'll be able to be a pattern. We'll be able to be to show others mm-hmm. the love of Christ.
Amen.
And amen, because we, the body, we're actually feeding on the other body. The body. Mm-hmm. We're feeding ourselves, each other with this. Praise the Lord for this mystery so great.
Amen.
A great shepherd is the one who had to shepherd us first.
Amen.
I really enjoy this week's day one's message. I want to read a verse, Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns which have no water. This is one of the words really deeply touched me when I first read it a long time ago. And it's really deep touched me because I was one of the person who doing these evil things. And I also want to read the definition of an idol. An idol is anything within us that we love more than the Lord or that replaces the Lord in our life. Yeah, when I pray, I just ask the Lord, is there any idols in my life? Actually, I think about it. There's a lot, still a lot of idols in my life. Because I still see a lot of things, maybe I don't want to do it, but I still see a lot of things more important than Lord mm-hmm. and take more of my energy and time. Mm-hmm. So I have to repent before the Lord. I really have a lot of idols, and I ask the Lord's mercy to remove these idols one by one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here it said, our peace, safety, health, and possessions may become idols to us. Mm-hmm. But God is faithful in his purpose to take these things away so that we might drink of him. Amen. Drink of him as the fountain of living waters.
Amen.
Yeah, so why God love us, but there's still a lot of hardships in our life. Because this is a true love. Because God love us, God don't want to see us to in the sin too long. So that's why God arranged a lot of hardships in our life. So we may realize all of these things is empty. It's just a broken cisterns.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, come forward, go back to the Lord. Yeah, and right now I read a book called Streams in the Desert by Mrs. Coleman. And one of the sentences I really enjoy is the hardships, the hard situation in our life is not to break us, but to make us. Yeah, the hardship in our life is not a terrible situation, because it's a show God still loves us, didn't forsake us. And I also enjoy one of the Brother Wang in the meeting said, some people after consecrate, Brother Zhang will tell them that you will have some hardships in your life. And also, if you don't consecrate, you still will have hardship in your life. Because we live under a world full of difficulties and hardships.
Right.
The longer we live, the more difficulties we'll go through. But this is not our purpose of life. The purpose is, during this process, we become more like Him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I'd like this week's title. The first reading is Shepherding the Flock of God. So when we shepherd, that means we do care. Like if people does not care, that's very that's very scary. You know, I heard my daughter once told me she said that one of his friend like seems like her parents does not care, like let her do whatever she wants. Then that's kind of scary, you know. We when we say shepherd, we do want to care, right? But on the other hand, we are shepherding is according to God.
Yes.
Because I also have some discussion with my high school college the friends. Chinese, the friends, they sometimes talk, it's about, some Chinese parents are too like guard their children. So it's not becoming like shepherding anymore. It's becoming kind of really like
idol.
Yeah, it kind of becomes an idol. So I also enjoy one of our articles posted in the Mom of Faith, the Mom of Faith. It says how are we gonna shepherd them according to God and not according to human being. So the last part I really enjoy is being a pattern, the being a pattern. So sometimes nowadays those education wise makes it very, very complicated. It's like makes people cannot follow. But actually, the very basic thing is, if we want to shepherd anybody, our first has to be come to the Lord. So that's very basic. Just a little bit more. Let's say, if I cannot hold my temper when I'm tired, I just come to the Lord to give me strength. Then I cannot ask other people to do it. Because I cannot do it. So I just say, Lord, have mercy on me.
Amen.
So the same thing. So we just do, the first, we come to the Lord, and we be a pattern. Then we can shepherd. Then may all the fellow believers can follow. And then we all lead Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
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 I felt this week was a real shepherding, going through from days 1 through 6, and you just, I really appreciated the brothers who picked out the verses for the morning nourishments, and as you go through the verses, I sense, just starting with day 1, like our sister shared, wow, what a shepherding. Shepherding was from Jeremiah, he was in the Old Testament, but even today, it's amazing that word is really a shepherding word, seeing that we've committed two evils, that we've forsaken Him as the fountain of living waters, and that we've committed and that we hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns, which hold no water. And when I in my time with the Lord, when I read that, it's like, this is what I need, you know. And even through this week, I really felt Paul was shepherding us. I don't know if you had that sense. When you're reading the verses in Acts 20, in days 2 to 4, you just got the sense, I'm being shepherded by Paul.
Amen.
I wasn't with him in his third journey. I wasn't with him in his journeys. But as he was speaking those verses to the elders in Ephesus, actually I felt as I was just having and enjoying the word, chewing on the word, I felt like, wow, Paul is being a pattern to me in how to shepherd. He's shepherding me that he might reproduce me as a shepherd. And this is not for, I appreciate it, this is not for just a select few. Actually, we go through the week, we just get shepherded. And it's not like we ask to be a shepherd, he's just shepherding us. And as he's shepherding us, he's making us a pattern to be a shepherd to the whole flock. I'd just like to read a few verses in Acts 20 just to give you a sense of who Paul was. And I hope the saints can really bring this out. And the Acts, multiple verses are drawn from Acts 20. But at the end of Acts chapter 20, Paul writes this. Paul says this, "But when he had said these things, he knelt down with them all and prayed. And there was considerable weeping by all. And falling on Paul's neck, they kissed him affectionately." The people loved Paul. They were just so they were so cherished and nourished by his shepherding. That when he had to leave, they just fell upon his neck. They wept, they prayed together. He was really a pattern to them. And how was he a pattern? I'd just like to bring a few of these out. He said this, he said, "He did not withhold any of those things that were profitable to you, declaring them to you, and by not teaching you publicly." And I appreciated this. He just did not withhold any of these things that were profitable to us.
Right.
This is Paul's being. This is was his living and his ministry. And in Acts 20, he continues to say, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you all the counsel of God." I'm so thankful he did not shrink from declaring to us all the counsel of God. And he says, "And watch, remembering that for 3 years, night and day, I did not cease admonishing each one with tears." I just got the sense this week, by being shepherding according to God, by being patterns of the flock, Paul is such a pattern to us, even today, as we really get into Acts 20, and we see in his epistles in Philippians and in Ephesians, he's shepherding us, even in the New Testament age right now, so that we could be reproduced as patterns of the flock, to shepherd the whole flock of God, which he obtained through his own blood.
Amen. I'll be reading from week 4, day 5, and it talks about what Christ wanted for humanity, and one of the things he wanted was to build up the church. And so Ephesians 4:16 tells you how to build up that church. It's on week 4, day 5. It says, "Out from all whom all the body being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation and the measure of each one part, cause the growth of the body unto the building of itself in love." And I really appreciate that, you know, because it's just so tempting to like live our individual lives and just take care of ourselves. But like it really talks about how we should build up the church.
Yeah.
And another thing I really appreciated when it was it talked about what Paul was, and more importantly, it also tells us what we should be like, you know, by learning what Paul was, because Paul was an expression of Christ.
Yeah.
And so it says Paul was not only an apostle, he was a prophet, an evangelist, a shepherd, and a teacher. And like I like how it speaks about how many of us, we don't really classify ourselves as this. We just say, hey, we're a believer, right? We don't need to be the gifted or the leaders, right? Or let's just say even if we are pretty good, we'd be like, oh, we'll be an apostle for today, you know? But we normally don't think that, oh, okay, we're going to be a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher, and an apostle. And it talks about how this is actually supposed to be normal. That this is part of the pattern. We're supposed to be all of these things. And so I really appreciate it that, you know, God really never set for just one man to be an impression of him, you know. Christ is supposed to be within all of us, and to build up the church, we really need to be all expressions of Christ. We all need to be leaders. We all need to be these prophets and apostles and teachers in our own right. So I really appreciated that. And I pray that, you know, the Lord helps build me and build us all up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm going to...
I'll echo what Brother Mingjin shared in the intro. With regard to, we know how that Peter and Paul were very prominent shepherds of the church and of the Lord's people. And many times I wonder, why were they such great shepherds? And as the brother brought out, Peter was such a great shepherd because he himself was shepherded so much, especially in John 21, the condition that he was in, and yet the Lord never gave up on him. There was even, I believe, where there was, I think it was in Luke, or no, Mark, where he specifically referred to Peter as like, tell the disciples and Peter. Mm-hmm. He specifically referred to Peter even after what Peter did, which is like, most, if Peter did that to me, I would have given up on him a long time ago, but the Lord didn't give up on him. So in my experience, I realized that whenever I take care of people, whether it be the young people, or even my little sister, or even other people under my care, I realize I'm not the one caring for them. The Lord is the one caring for me. I'm the one who needs the most care. And so day two was really touching for me. Both of these verses are so great. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. That is such an incredible fact. God is faithful. He is faithful to shepherd us, to take care of us, to bring us to this point. And how does he do that? He brings us to the enjoyment of him. And in 2 Corinthians 11:3, we do not want to be carried away, corrupted from the simplicity and the purity toward Christ. So there is we're reminded in the today's reading that we should never forget to just to be simple and what pure towards Christ in the matter of enjoying him.
Amen.
So before we even think about taking care of other people or shepherding them, we need to remember, Lord, am I enjoying you? Am I brought back to you? Or am I just thinking about all the different things I need to do, whereas I just need to enjoy the Lord at every moment.
Going back to point one, that God wants us to shepherd according to God, according to his heart's desire.
Amen.
And so what is his heart's desire? Is that he wants to be the fountain of living waters to us. He wants he himself to be our satisfaction, our enjoyment, and our joy. That is basically his heart's desire.
Right.
And so going back to, I've been reading in Numbers, the life study of Numbers, how all through the book of Numbers, we see the rebellion of the children of Israel, even after miracle after miracle after miracle, and all the terrible things that happened to them, about the rebellious ones, the earth swallowed them right before their eyes. You would think, oh my goodness, if I had seen this judgment happen to me in front of my eyes, I would really turn to the Lord. But no, you know, and then after that there was another rebellion, and you know, God had to then send fire and consume 250 people right in front of their eyes, right? And that wasn't enough. They continued to murmur. And we see that, what we see in all of this is that man will never be subdued because of judgments, because of teachings, because of any kind of behavior modifications. And we see this all through the travels of the children of Israel through the wilderness, which is our journey in God. And that they didn't have God inside of them. And one sentence the brother said in this message touched me this morning. He said, God did not just send his son. God gave his son to us. So today, his son in us, revealed in us, is the only one that can subdue us, that can make us, you know, like him, and can make us be shepherds, because history has shown us that none of all of these things and miracles have ever, ever, you know, done anything other. That's why in the New Testament we have the Lord revealed in us, so that we can allow Him to dispense Himself in us. And that's the only thing that can subdue us. That's the only thing that can bring us into the good land to enjoy Him, that can make us the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
So I'm really, you know, very, very sobered that this enjoyment and this eating and drinking of the Lord is the only thing that can really matter, and it's the primary thing in the church life, that we can enjoy the Lord together and bring each other into this enjoyment.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Following all the saints' share, burden sharing. You know, many years ago, when I just started my church life, I started to have some kind of aspiration, and actually I saw some pattern in the church life.
Amen. And
very specifically, I saw a brother, his shepherding of saints is full of, you know, love.
Amen.
He has this very genuine care of saints. And I just have this kind of aspiration, and I pray to the Lord, Lord, how come I don't have this kind of love in me? So I pray to the Lord, and I hope I can be like our brother. But actually, for quite a long time, I don't know the secret. How can I? And, you know, through so many years, I think learn little by little, you know, and I think at least this week do give us the answer. Actually, the answer is we need to shepherd according to God.
Amen.
And how is actually by our enjoyment of the Lord.
Right.
As all kind of source, you know. So in the church life, if we want to learn from the pattern, we need to know what we are learning for,
right,
and learning from. When we see some brother or some saints, when they're prophesying, they're so nourishing, their shepherding are so cherishing. Now, there's a secret, because they live before the Lord.
Amen.
And maybe I'll share a little bit, you know, more. You probably heard Sister Ping share several times. She liked to say, oh, she had bad temper. So she always wanted to say, she tell Megan and Eric, oh, you need to learn from Kyle. Kyle has good temper. Actually, every time I heard this, I don't have much happiness. I actually feel very embarrassed. very shameful. Because, you know, my spouse, you know, been with me so long, why? She saw from me is only very natural strength. I cannot say strength. Even, you know, from our natural man, any strength actually sit with the other side. Right? If you have a strength of very fastness, actually that means you are not able to be slow. But only something come from God. There's no such kind of limitation. So I would like to testify, you know, from Sister Bing. I saw her, you know, although actually, yes, she relatively had bad temper. But, you know, since a few years ago, when she started to practice these 7 minutes with the Lord in the morning, I really see very significantly, you know, her growth in life is very, you know, visible. You know, that's how we can be the pattern. You know, how we live our life before the Lord, enjoy the Lord, that will have a genuine manifestation. You know, that we can be the pattern of the saints.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. think if you would ask what is the greatest need in the church life today, we could probably reply that with shepherding. I think everyone here needs shepherding.
Amen.
Sometimes we have the concepts, oh, only a certain group of people need shepherding. Actually, we all need shepherding. But I was touched from this week to see this shepherding. Well, first of all, it's shepherding according to God.
Right? Amen.
So I appreciate it. We start to see what that means. And that some of the saints brought that out. It's shepherding according to the desire of God.
Amen.
This is a wonderful definition. It's to see, right, that God has an economy. And He wants to be His people's enjoyment and satisfaction. And that there is a goal. That we are here to produce a church, to be His counterpart, eventually to consummate in the New Jerusalem. That's a pretty high definition. So sometimes we think, oh, shepherding, that's just to make somebody to feel better. You know, Brian's a little down, let me just shepherd him. But if he is not being produced as the body of Christ, if he's not being prepared as the counterpart, right, as the bride of Christ, then actually it's not shepherding. Right? Sometimes we even have religious thoughts of shepherding. We see somebody not come to the meeting. So, oh, let me shepherd John. John, hey, where were you last week? Hey, why don't you come to the meeting? Actually, the whole process, my intention is just to see John at the meeting. But actually, I don't really have much feeling about whether or not he's growing in life, whether he's enjoying the Lord, whether he's taking Christ as his fountain. Wow, what a definition of shepherding.
Right.
We are here to shepherd according to God. But I appreciate it. Actually, this matter of shepherding is not so much what we do, but who we are. Right? So in Acts, it's very clear. Chapter 20, 28. Take heed to yourselves.
Right.
I was very touched by that. Take heed to yourselves and then to all the flock. So first, we need to take heed to ourselves.
Yeah.
We need to be patterns. Right? To the believers, to the flock.
Amen.
Sorry, I'm going a little longer. And I appreciate how we started this meeting this morning is to see Peter. Peter actually was one who was first shepherded by the Lord. And we are somewhat familiar with John 21. You know, you consider the experiences of Peter when he backslid. What did he do? Actually, he did what exactly we saw in Jeremiah 2:13. He forsook the Lord, right? He had his fishing as an idol. The Lord no longer became his possession, his what? His peace, safety, health. All these things became a replacement. So the Lord had to shepherd him. It's very interesting. Even all these different miracles, he brought him back to shore. What a beautiful picture. There was the fire there. Peter was all wet. And there was fish there. Wasn't that a miracle? How could there be fish on the land? Where did it come from? The Lord was telling Peter, Peter, you could do all this. You could labor and strive and catch nothing. And even when you do catch something, guess what, Peter? I don't need any of that. Peter, do you love me more than all of these? Three times. Touching his natural enthusiasm. Touching his thought that I could do something for the Lord. Eventually, Peter came to his sense that, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. I just want to read one verse. And this is in Luke chapter 22, 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked to have you all to sift you as wheat. But I have made petition concerning you, that your faith would not fail. And you, once you have turned again, establish your brothers.
Amen.
This is the journey that the Lord took Peter. He was being sifted. He was being grounded. He was going through all these different things. But isn't it so precious that his faith did not fail? Peter went through all these things eventually so that he could be a pattern, so that he could, in return, establish his fellow brothers. So, actually, brothers and sisters, we need to realize shepherding is not something that, oh, the mature saints, the, you know, the ones who have a lot of growth in life, only they can do. Actually, all of us here we can be such shepherds.
Amen.
We just need to experience the Lord in a certain way. And actually, that is what was found in John 21. We just come to Him. Lord, Lord, You know all these things. You know my heart. You know how complicated I became. Lord, I want to return to You. Lord, simplify me. Purify me. Simplify my mind. Purify my heart. Lord, shepherd me. And as we go to the Lord in such a way and He restores our love for Him, then He tells us, shepherd my sheep.
Amen.
Feed my lambs. Amen. And then in this way, actually all of us, the whole church, can be shepherded. We can shepherd one another, and the Lord can gain what is on His heart.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Shepherd said this email. This is not for me. You know, that Kyle to answer. But then I think that eventually we are not in the fellowship and we are not in the reality of the shepherding. And I'm hoping that now, you know, it's December. I really hope that I can go on and we can go on together. Because, you know, here we are not talking about textbook. We are talking about real church life and real, you know, very practical daily living.
Amen.
The first elder, Peter, give the advice to the elder, fellow elder, what he said. And witness of the suffering of the Christ. This is the key point for the first verse. The second one, shepherd according to the God. The third verse we talk about, becoming the pattern of the flock. Last week we sharing talking about witnessing. The Greek word is astus. What does that mean? Martyr. And this week we talk about a key word, pattern. These two words actually put together. Amen. I very enjoyed Brother Cal share that. How we can stay in here? Because the pattern. Amen. Amen. Who's our pattern? How does it so appear the brother know Lord's recovery? Because they touch this hand. This hand is over 1,000 years, two different authors. The first one is Augustine, when he wrote, "Let me love and not be respecter. Let me serve not but to be reward. Let me labor not be remembered. Let me suffer and not be regarded." Continue. Our brother Watchman E.
我今不知前途就有多远。 这条道路一去就不再还原，所以让我学习你那样的完全，时常被人辜负，心不甘愿。
Why sing this one? Because in English, I cannot see how much further I shall go. Still, I press on, knowing there's no return. Let me follow your pattern. Amen. Amen. That's a key word. That's what I want to share. Pattern. We have a pattern. Let me follow your pattern. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This week's message is really encouraging, and it's really reminding me again. The reason of our existence is to live a life far beyond the realm of anxiety, is fully dignified with a higher standard of human virtue, expressing the most excellent divine attributes.
Amen.
The whole statement is talking about a living. It's not about saying, it's not about doing, it's a living. And the older you are, you probably will feel more frustrated about yourself because you don't see any improvement in your living.
Amen.
But this is our goal. And then hopefully one day I can reach this goal. With the higher standard of human virtue, expressing the most excellent divine attribute.
Amen.
Church life is about role model, from the top, the orders, to the bottom. But now, if you are a parent, and if you did know how to raise a kid. The most important is not sometimes not teaching. It's about because they live with you day by day. They see you day by day.
Actions.
The most profound influence on your kids is how you live your life. For example, if the parent is a smoker, it doesn't matter you don't smoke at home. You only smoke outside. Your kid knows, and most likely your kids will be a smoker. If you are a drinker, most likely your kids will be. It's hard to, you know, not to influence your kids just by teaching, saying, smoke is no good, drinking is no good. That's not going to change them to be a smoker. Now, in church life, how to be a role model is, if the young ones see a lot of role model, the young ones know how to, somehow they know how to copy, and somehow they know how to learn from that point. And so every time I have been a children meeting teacher a long, long time. Children meeting is only 2 hours every Sunday. But every time my burden, right now I'm not, but when I was a children meeting, my burden for children meeting is not just that 2 hours, what I say, but it's to let them feel how I love and care them outside of the meeting. So you have to spend a lot of time, not in that 2 hours, but spend a lot of time outside that 2 hours to hold them, to make them feel you really love and care them. So if we have all this kind of role model in our church life, that would be a very healthy church life. So it's not about we talk each other how to live it, but we know how to live our life ourselves, and then the live out of our life will be like spontaneously people can touch and feel something. So I think this statement is really my goal. And hopefully, on that day when the Lord see me, He will say, you are such a good servant, or you are such a good slave.
To Amen. Me.
That will be our ultimate, you know, reward. To hear him to say something good about ourselves.
Amen.
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 My wife set up heaven for me, so I have to share. This is actually, if it's possible, Pete, can you share with my wife your 7 minutes in the morning, what you do? Something like that, okay? This is how I read the morning revival. First of all, this week is talking about pattern, talking about shepherding. And I say, well, that's not me. So that's okay. Take it easy. Read through all this. And go through 12 patterns, and none of that is for me. Then I start to judge the people in our church. See the elder? In here it says that you should go house by house. You never come to my house. You never visit. Hey, not just one. There's a couple of them. As a matter of fact, no one come to visit me in all these 30 years. This is how I read the Bible. This is so bad. Right? Right? But to the end, actually, go back to the day one. It shows me very clearly. He said that, for my people has committed two evils. They forsake me. Thanks God. God, I don't dare to forsake you. The second one is they hew up the cisterns. Cisterns. Not just one. Many of them. Right? And not the worst part is they are not even, they are broken. They even cannot contain the water, regular water. And why our God? He is the source. He's the fountain of all of this living water. And I turn around, I dig. I can see that all my past years, I was digging the cisterns by myself in that really hard rock. I really put my time, my effort to do that. It doesn't matter if it's in my career, or I want to be a good husband, I want to be a good father, I want to be a good employee. I always do that. I'm digging. I am cutting out a very hard rock, trying to contain some water. And there are not even a living water. They are not even can contain a regular water because they are all broken. When I look back, everything is broken. Everything. It contains nothing. So, well, thinking already. So I want to jump to another one because our brother said that our life should be a leader. We should be that people found that why in the Christ. And this is not you mimic someone. I mimic a shepherd. Oh, see, he talk really with all the logic. He can point out 1, 2, 3, 4 so clearly. And I can't. I can't. So I would say that I cannot do that. And I'm sorry, now I cannot find that. So I think I was stopping here. Basically, we have to enjoy the Lord day by day. Amen. This is day by day. When we really in the Lord, we really enjoy the Lord, amen, then we can exercise our. People will find that we are in Christ. It's not like I go to work, I smiling, all the this and that. People know that, oh, it's me, you know. He's there, there's a lap, people enjoy something. But when I turn around, people still look at me. They still judge me. What is a real Neil Lee? How he acts in the daily life. How he works through 8 hours in the company, or even longer. This is what we have to stay in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
Is what I have to stay in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 way that God loves the church is also the way we show up the same.
Amen.
That's the kind of shepherding, the love, the cherishing, the tender care that we show up. Also that he was, the example that you said before us is also, he was the sweet, not just, not even just a simple sweet, but when we're shepherding, you know, even if it's very difficult or even if we're disappointed, right? Like, really, we're just pleased with God. They would be those who, it says actually in the verse. So it says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. To spare the flock means that we love the flock with tender care by cherishing and nourishing. However, the wolves would not care for the church in this way. Contrary, they would sacrifice the church for their own interests and satisfaction. Maybe that will be the actually, me, you know, would we be willing, would we sacrifice the church for our own interests and satisfaction? Or would we really love the flock so much and care for them that we would be willing to set aside our own interests? Anyways, I just really appreciated the pattern that was
wanted to add one more point very quick. On day four, actually, this is mentioning in the Acts chapter 29. Paul here, as he was speaking to the elders in the Ephesus, said, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So, saints, this is really a spiritual warfare here. I mean, Paul was speaking about his time, but if we look around in our time, do you think there are fierce wolves that actually come in, you know, into us? This is really happening every day, right? So this really brings us into this urgency of the shepherding. Because if the saints are not shepherded, if they're not fed, if they're not fed with the healthy word, right, from God, you know, we become weak. Right? I mean, actually, you know, this is not talking about others, just talking about ourselves, right? If you see, if we haven't really touched the Lord for a few days, we become weak. Our faith could get, you know, pretty much everything gets weak, right? So, of course, you know, we need to be come to the Lord. We need to be shepherded by the Lord. But on the other hand, we just cannot just be selfish, right? There are so many needy ones out there, right? There's so many saints that are around us. If we just look around, you know, how many saints are we used to see that not in the meeting today. Not that we just want to say, oh, coming to the meeting, they were satisfied, like Brother Shepherd mentioned, right? It is really about their well-being, right? If they're not in the meeting, that means something, right? Now, of course, some saints, like Joe Lee, they had a car trouble. They couldn't come back, and, you know, we know, oh, okay, they have this kind of situation. But, yeah, of course, we could still, like, you know, Just some other saints, they may actually in some sort of situation, right? Yeah. So if we look around, if we just have our have our thoughts and, you know, on them, then, you know, this we would actually start to care for them, you know, just pray for them, right? And then, you know, if Lord, there's a leading, we can actually, you know, hey, give them a call and, you know, go out even to visit them, right? So this is really the kind of life that we need to live, you know, really caring for each other, right? Because Lord really brought us back with His precious blood. All members, you know, even the little ones, they're really precious in His eyes. And those, that kind of, you know, passion should be in us as well. In fact, we have this one in us. We just need to pray to Him.
Amen.
And then the Lord will really burden us, you know, and then really shepherd each other. In fact, you know, a lot of young ones. Okay, well, like this message, you know, in a lot of times we're like referring to elders. But in fact, it's not just the elders, right? I mean, elders, of course, they're the overseers, they're the shepherds. But then this really applies to each one of us. right? We really need to shepherd one another. You know, brother's house, sister's house, right? When we live together, or just saints, you know, wherever we are, we can really care for each other, right? We, you know, even saints in whatever situation they are. So you know, you see that in this kind of, if we care more for each other, we'll actually get more and more infused by His love, right? Because otherwise, we, without His love, if we don't love the Lord, or if we're not infused with the Lord, Lord's love, we cannot carry on with such things. And in fact, but further, this will bring us into a very positive kind of positive feedback loop, I would say, right? The more we enjoy the Lord, the more we would actually be burdened with others. And the more we burden, we started shepherding with them, the more we felt that we need the Lord, right? And then this really brings us into the growth of life. So shepherding is, in fact, you know, it really has a positive effect, you know, in our spiritual growth, right? This is talking about our own, but on the other hand, this is really a process that really is needed in building up the body of Christ. May we be just, you know, first, you know, enjoy the Lord, we also be a pattern, and then we also, we can shepherd others, and we can shepherd each other. Praise the Lord. Amen.
And eventually, all young people are going to be an elder. Stay in the church life.
Amen.
It's good to aspire to be an elder.
I wanted to share something. It's from my Bible reading, but in 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. In chapter 4, there's these verses, which, you know, I've enjoyed since college, because it talks about the treasure in our earthen vessels and how we press on every side. But not constricted, unable to find a way out, but not utterly without a way out, persecuted, but not abandoned, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the putting to death of Jesus, but the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body, right? And so, you know, in 16 and 17, it talks about not losing heart, right? Because our outer man is decaying, but our inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary lightness of affliction works out for us, more and more surpassingly and eternal weight of glory. So I've always read these verses, and it's always kind of for me, right? Oh, yes, I'm in my situation, but it's not without hope. But I just realized in the context of what we've been hearing today, even in the context of 2 Corinthians, it's talking about the ministry of the new covenant, right? And this is actually one of the qualifications of the ministers of the new covenant. You can equate the ministry of the new covenant to shepherding according to God. So I just appreciate it, you know. We are each in our situations, and we have the Lord shepherding us, you know, to realize that it's a momentary lightness of affliction, right? It's working out more and more surpassingly an eternal weight of glory. But it's not just for me to be, you know, victorious in my situation. Actually, it's to me for you, right?
Amen.
And I just appreciate, you know, we see all these the pattern of Paul, and he was just right in alongside. And the Lord Jesus himself, he just came in right alongside, you know, each one according to where they were, right? And so, you know, as we enjoy and experience the Lord in our situations, you know, it's just, it becomes a source of nourishment, not only for ourselves, but for those that we contact. And that's my aspiration, right? To really contact the Lord and enjoy the Lord so that there's something that comes forth, right? There's this ministry of the Spirit so that when we come, you know, sometimes, and what I appreciate about shepherding, and some have shepherded me in this way, is you go to them, maybe you pour out everything to them. They don't actually say any, they don't say, oh, you need to turn to your spirit. They don't say, like, oh, you know, this or that, or the Lord loves, you know. Actually, they don't say anything, they just listen. And even in their listening, they're ministering Christ's life.
Amen.
Right? And so that's the shepherding according to God. Sometimes it's knowing what to say, and sometimes it's knowing not to say anything at all, right? Mm-hmm. But all the time, being one with this, the chief shepherd.
Amen.
Ministering and praying. I've been telling Shepherd real more and more, I just said, we need to learn to pray for one another, because everyone's going through something.
Right.
And we need to learn to consider one another. I would really appreciate, sorry, I know this is a little long, but I appreciated that this life within us is the life of the body, and we're learning to cultivate the sense of life.
Amen.
The sense of the body.
Yes. And so that as we come to the head, he can direct us in our prayers for the members of the body. We don't know what they're going through, but we see, or sometimes, you know, when you're before the Lord just touches you. Pray for this person.
Amen.
I don't know what they're going through, but they need the Lord, I need the Lord, and we just pray. We just work one with the Lord. So, sorry, one last thing is I just appreciated in chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 1, it says, and working together with
Amen.
Also, encourage not to receive the grace of God. I just appreciate that this week. We're just working together with Him. He's Amen. The chief shepherd, and we're one with Him in His shepherding ministry.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Appreciate your speaking, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for your shepherding.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, shepherds every day of this life.
Amen.
Oh, shepherds to be a good shepherd.
Amen.
Shepherd our families too.
Amen.
Shepherd our spouse.
Amen.
Shepherd our kids.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, thank you that you are the potter.
Amen.
You have given us also Paul as a potter.
Right.
Oh, so thank you for all the saints that are our potter.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for this. We can shepherd according to your needs.
Amen.
According to your desires.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You're the good shepherd.
Amen.
Oh, you laid down your life for us.
Amen.
So that we can gain life.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we just want to continue to be shepherded by
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we will also be one with this shepherding spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, to build up your church.
Amen.
To care for one another.
Amen.
Oh, to build together.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord,
have
mercy on us.
Amen.
Together.
Amen.
Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you again.
Amen.
Lord, you know we are not able.
Amen.
You are the faithful one.
Amen.
Lord, again us all.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you.
Amen.
Oh, you are our good shepherd.
Amen.
You also is our chief shepherd.
Amen.
One day you will come back.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Right.
So from now until 1:30, we're going to have a debrief of the past semester at Rutgers. So if you're interested in joining, we'll meet in the conference room. I think after lunch, like announcement said, we'll have a church-wide cleaning of the RVs.